Welcome back to Screen Crush Rewind. I'm your host, Ryan Airy, and today we're going to have a lot of fun. I have a feeling a lot of you guys are going to have a lot of fun in the comments with this question, too. It is quite simply, what is the biggest MCU mistake? Now, we got a few people on that we're going to talk to about this. If you guys have any super chats, they're always encouraged but not required. Please feel free to drop them. We'll get to the comments a little bit later in the conversation. And we've already got a super chat. Thank you so much, Michael Rodini. We'll get to that in a second. And I just want to lay out some criteria here. It can be whatever kind of mistake you think. So if you think it's something on the corporate level, if you think that there is a character that Marvel killed off who should have not been killed off, or somebody they should have killed off, or a story they shouldn't have adapted, whatever it is, you can talk grand corporate strategy, or we can get super granular with this. So I am really excited to talk to everybody about this. First up, you know him as the guy who's trapped in our TV but doesn't know it, so please don't tell him. Mr. Colton Ogburn, what's up, Colton?
I've got to get some new headphones. You always cut out right as you're bringing me on. It's super annoying. Got to get me some.
Well, it's good to see you.
Wireless headphones. Good to see you. Yeah.
I know you have no complaints about the MCU or Star Wars or anything else. So I hope you can try to think of some kind of mistake for this.
Well, I don't know, Ryan. Hold on. Yeah, I got my direct deposit. Yeah, no complaints.
Oh, okay. So, all right. Great. So you have nothing bad to say because Marvel filling your pockets with cash. And next up, you know him as the co-host of the Comic Book Club podcast, the guy without a cute nickname yet, Mr. Alex Albin. What's going on, Alex?
You can call me Wuzzles. How about that? Is that cute? Is that a cute nickname?
It's cute, but it's not
appropriate.
Not really, we'll figure it out.
What I call him.
Yeah. And hey, speaking of Wuzzles and Wuzzle-like things, because the Wuzzles are actually a cartoon from the 1980s, and this person loves to cover cartoons and animation on her channel, Whitney Vision. Ms. Whitney Van Lanningham, what's going on, Whitney?
Hi, I'm so excited because as a person who's never made a mistake ever in my life, I can't wait to talk about Marvel's mistakes.
Absolutely. And if there's one thing we all can be assured of, it's that we are definitely the ones who should be casting the first stone. So you look back at our lives and our careers, and we are without spot. So, of course, we are in the best position to tell professionals like Kevin Feige and the Russo brothers and all of these filmmakers what they should have been doing from the safety of the backseat, right?
Yeah.
That being said, look, we're Monday morning quarterbacking, obviously. I would not trust me to do anything Marvel-wise for any amount of money, but it's kind of fun to complain and let people know what we think they should have done. I don't know. Who wants to go first? I've got a list, so I'm not in a rush. Who wants to go first?
I wasn't aware of the topic literally until you messaged me a few minutes ago.
Oh, it's on the spreadsheet.
I know. I'm just saying I've already have several, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hit us with one. First? Yeah. Don't be shy.
Yeah, Colton goes first.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier should have been a movie, and it should have been like a direct like follow-up to Endgame, because Endgame ends with Sam being given the shield. Endgame was like the second biggest movie ever. Everybody saw Endgame, and it's just really weird that the follow-up to that is a Disney Plus show. I just think that's odd. Why not do another Captain America movie, have it star Sam Wilson and Bucky, two guys who have been, you know, co-leads really in the Captain America movies, you know, behind Steve Rogers. You could have had even, you know, old man Steve Rogers in it if you wanted to. I think Joe Biden plays the elderly Steve Rogers, right? So you could have had him come in. Yeah. So
I wish he had ran again. As Steve Rogers.
As Steve Rogers, right? Yeah, things would be different.
I think he might run again. I think the third time's the charm. I think next time, we just need to nominate him one more time.
One more time. But yeah, Falcon and the Winter Soldier is far from perfect, but I think it has a far more interesting and like compelling story than Brave New World did. Like, I think it would have been so much more interesting of a story to tell on the big screen. Bucky is like a fan favorite. Like that Winter Soldier character is like beloved by like even like more like casual MCU fans, like maybe fans who aren't diehard Screen Crush watchers, but they, you know, they do make sure they go watch all the MCU movies, like that kind of like middle ground fan between normie and super fan. So I think they could have really, I think they would have been really smart to make that the movie instead of just dropping that on Disney Plus and then doing the half-baked movie later. I think things could look different had they done that.
Let me ask you this. Okay, so I kind of agree. I always thought like that, as a status, right? You have Zemo, all these people, you know, Isaiah Bradley, John Walker, like those are seminal stories from the comics and seminal characters who have already been established in movies. So yeah, I do agree in that sense. But if it goes from six episodes, which were not long, but they were about 40 minutes each, and you condense it to a movie, what plot lines do you think, or do you guys think you can lose from that?
Probably, I mean, as much as I like her, all of the stuff with, what is it, Erin Kellyman? And I'm forgetting the name of the group she was in.
The Flag Smashers.
Right. You know, if you focus it down on who is, you know, battle for the shield type thing with U.S. Agent, with Bucky kind of standing back, but still sort of being there to step in, Falcon, also Isaiah Bradley, I guess, like that makes it at least more of a focus and a follow up like you're talking about, Colton, because even though Cap handed over the shield, you still expect that there's going to be a little friction there. And even in the comics, there was some friction as well, for sure.
I don't know. What's the character's name? Carly, right? We're talking about, is that who you were talking about? I don't know if I want less of her. Like, I mean, she's a really interesting character that really puts Sam in this position where, okay, I'm already, you know, in an America where maybe a black man being Captain America is going to be, you know, hard for a lot of people to swallow. Like, he's already facing those struggles, but also here he is trying to say, no, I'm not defending a terrorist. I'm defending a kid who has been, like, you know, misguided and is really, you know, if you think about it, the reason she is the way she is because of our own failures. And instead of you got to do better, Senator, we could just have a movie that actually, like, shows instead of tells that. So while the John Walker portion, I think, is interesting from the show, if I had to pick between which one of them is like the villain, the obstacle, I think I'd probably lean more toward Carly.
Or I would get rid of Carly and keep the power broker as the villain. Like, because that's really what it is. The source of it is that they're selling that somebody has access to the super soldier
form. Right. And can I say, I haven't seen it since COVID.
It holds up, dude. Like some of the action. Yeah.
I completely forgot her name was Carly. I'm not going to lie to you. I was sitting there waiting for someone to say the name because I was like, shit. Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Flag Smasher. Yeah.
Of my colon that I had to sift through, like while Alex was talking to try to find her name.
I was hoping someone would say it because I was like, shit, what was that kid's name?
Dude, I forget so many names on here all the time, and Alex never does.
I forgot and John somebody, Walker yesterday. I called him dipshit Captain America,
and it worked. But we knew who you meant.
That's just by the way.
See, we only called John Walker Johnny Mayonnaise because MT forgot his name one time and was like, "What's that guy's name? Johnny Mayonnaise or something?"
Wider than Tucker Carlson. Alex, we did have a good suggestion here. So Ethan's gas tomb gave us $2 and said, Alex, the guy who's always available for the stream, what do you think about Alex, the guy who's always home?
Sad, but it's true.
Well, I mean, like, I've got no room to talk. Whitney, throw us a mistake. There's so many super chats right now we have to get to later. Like, it's a record.
Are they all saying how correct I am about my...
Yes.
Yeah, people pay money just to let you feel validated. Exactly. Good.
That's the opposite of therapy, where I go to feel validated and I pay someone a lot of money. Give it to me now. No, my biggest Marvel mistake, in my opinion, I think that they should have killed Ant-Man in Quantumania. I think that they should have gone the death of Ant-Man comic route. I think that should have led to Cassie Lang heading up the Young Avengers, maybe even starting the West Coast Avengers kind of a deal, because we've been in New York so much. Mm-hmm. Come on, bring a little my way. It's all on your side of the country. Give me some LA out here. We only have Wonder Man so far and Trevor Slattery. Give us She-Hulk. More. And She-Hulk. Another
we don't
one
have
that's
shit.
Not that's like probably not coming back.
You have is the Spurs, loser.
Yeah, we got Cowboy Deadpool, which I actually just picked up the Marvel Legends figure of. Yeah, that's very cool.
Oh, yeah. That's Whitney, that's a great one. We've made a couple of videos on that, and I think everyone was expecting him to die.
I have too.
Yeah.
And I made many theory videos on that before it came out. Because I was like, that's the only way to keep the stakes. Because a lot of a problem that I've had with like a lot of the recent Marvel movies is that they used to have such like high stake moments where you would actually be sitting in the theater going, oh my God, how are they going to get out of this? How are they going to solve it? And so when I was seeing trailers and like the poster and like Kang stepping on the helmet and everything, like I thought, oh shit, this is totally going to go there and like be the death of Ant-Man. That this is going to be awesome. We're going to finally get crazy high stakes like we had at the end of Infinity War going into Endgame, end of Endgame going into everything else. I was so hyped for the MCU to finally have like crazy, crazy death, and it didn't work.
It borders on idiotic that they didn't do it. Like I get that he's Paul Rudd. You want Paul Rudd in the Avengers
movie. I love Paul
movie.
Rudd, but come on.
Also, this is the Marvel no one's ever really dead universe. You could have had him get like brutally, like you could have had what happened to Kang happen to Ant-Man. Have him like get brutally sucked into that power core or something. Have Kang like pushing his face into the power core and him getting like sucked into it. And then he could have brought him back in Kang Dynasty.
Well what do you think about you know, the original ending? I'm still holding out hope for Kang Dynasty, though.
Me too.
You never know.
They're working on it. They're working on it.
I hear they're going to drop it on Daily Wire Plus.
Yeah, so I hear Ben Shapiro is working hard on the script as we speak.
Well, he's got Jonathan Majors all locked up. Or does he? Would you guys be okay with the original ending of Quantumania, where he was trapped in the quantum realm, and then Cassie like ends and finds the Young Avengers protocol on a computer? I think the reason they said they didn't do that, maybe it didn't test well, but also they were like, this is three movies in a row where they end up in a quantum realm. And I personally think that would have been great, because I just think you end it with Scott and Janet looking at each other and going, not again. Wah, wah.
Yeah.
And then that's
totally.
It.
Totally.
It's an Ant-Man movie. It's supposed to be gags.
Whitney's ending, I think, is the perfect ending. Have him die. But yeah, the second best would have been at least have them be trapped there. But no, they were just...
And they could have done a whole, you know, at the ending of, it was like Stranger Things season 3, where they like have Hopper die and they make it super real and they make it super believable. And you're like, holy shit, before like the post-credit scene, obviously. And like, I remember being like, oh my God, he's really fucking dead. And like, they have all the characters like crying, and Eleven has to move to California. They could have done that with Cassie Lang, because I think that that would have been a really cool, I mean, sorry that I'm sitting here like, that teenage girl should have had her dad die to give her life stakes.
Well, she's not real.
It's a movie.
That's okay.
It's a movie.
She's not real. Yeah, I mean, we can take solace in that.
I think it would have been a really, really cool, I think it would have been a cool ass character motivation. I just do. I think that could have been a really cool start to something. And then if they did bring him back and there was a reunion, she would have changed because she didn't have a dad. And then he'd be like, but I still love you. Ah, and it'd be so fun and cool to see that.
And it also,
like in the comics,
really hurt Kang. It really hurt
Kang. Oh, it destroyed it. It destroyed
his ass kicked by Ant-Man. Dude. I love Ant-Man. Ant-Man's a cool, powerful character. But you don't have him beat Kang in a fist fight. And then
and if
we're
you do, you have to have him get small and crawl up his butt. That's the only way I support him beating Kang. Yeah. And that didn't happen either. So fuck me, I guess.
Yeah. It's like if Darkseid got beaten by Plastic Man. It's sort of on that level.
I will push back. Plastic Man is terrifying.
That well. if I actually, I'm a Quantumania defender, right? Because when we talk about he was beaten by ants, I've even like gone into the science of this in videos. Like ants are so strong.
They're
have
crazy
like such
powerful.
Power. And then when they're that big, the surface tension, they would be like tanks, like millions of unstoppable tanks. So of course that would destroy his armor and his force field. And you have to do that to Kang in that moment. He has to be put on his back foot. But you're right. He has to triumph. And like Daniel RPK has said that their original plan was not to have Kang, but the Council of Kangs be the villain. Like, that's a great idea for Kang Dynasty. And I think you're right. I think it just destroyed any kind of, not momentum, but any kind of excitement over that character. Alex.
Yeah, no, it totally killed his street cred.
We've been talking, Alex, I want to hear this, because I'm sure these aren't the only ones you guys have. So we're going to keep circling back to different ones as well.
Sure. I mean, rather than a specific one, I'll throw out a broad strokes one about Marvel that's been said a billion times, but this drives me up the wall, is the lack of follow-up on end credits scenes. I think that has almost hurt Marvel more than anything else, because you could do it once. Like, you could miss one thing. Like, you could do the Baron Mordo thing and miss following up on him being like, no more sorcerers. And we're like, all right, that's fine. We skip by that. Maybe we'll come back to it later.
Maybe he was mad. Maybe he was just hungry when he said that. We don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe he just, he's like.
And there was that really big movie that they could have followed that up in, that Multiverse of Madness movie.
Right. But it's not like, my point is that, like, you could do that once, maybe twice, where you're like, okay, I understand there was a reason we blasted past that thing, but they've done that so many times now, it starts to erode audience trust, because rather than having where they started, where it's like, ooh, it's Nick Fury, what's going to happen with him? Well, I'll find out in Iron Man 2. Ooh, Thor's hammer showed up at the end. Where's that? Oh, the next movie is Thor. So, like, it's this started as this very straightforward thing, and suddenly you have all of these end credit scenes of Shang-Chi being like, what's the secret signal from space? You'll never find out. You're never going to know. I mean, maybe we'll know in Doomsday, but like up until
years
then,
later,
it's
five
not.
Years? Yeah,
exactly. Crazy. And then it becomes not careful planning. It becomes, oh crap, there's this thing on this board that we got to tie up with a bow somehow because we left it dangling. Like, that's definitely how I felt when they finally came back to the Celestial and the ocean in Captain America Brave New World, where it wasn't like, ooh, they planned this the whole time. It was, oh, right, that thing was there. That was a thing that they left behind.
Yeah.
They just, again, like, I think it's the overall sense of the universe, sort of, it spills out into the movies and the TV shows itself, where it starts to feel like, well, if those are important, none of the rest of this is important. If you're not going to follow up on that, I don't have to watch anything else.
Yeah. James Gunn said he doesn't want to do post-credit scenes in the DCU that actually tease things, because he was locked into Adam Warlock from Guardians 2, and he had a hard time fitting him into Guardians 3.
I think there's a happy medium there, honestly, between what Gunn is saying and what MCU has been doing for a while, where if you know a project is coming, you can throw something in there for sure and tease it.
Yeah.
It doesn't all have to be, Mr. Terrific and Superman staring at
the wall. Take a scene from it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like they would do. Like in Ant-Man, there's a scene from Winter Soldier.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
That's great.
That's what the post-credit scenes need to be, is... Because they always know what the next one coming out is. They might not have it locked down with the next one, like in five movies down the road. Just put a post-credit scene that also just makes more sense from a marketing perspective. If you've got a movie coming out in May, and then you've got one coming out the following December, have the post-credit scene for the May one be for whatever the December movie is. It doesn't have to be.
And then put a gag in.
Yeah, and a gag post-credit scene. Yeah.
Right.
Taylor Swift is now what the MCU used to be in terms of like Easter eggs and like seeding future projects. And I really think that the MCU needs to go back to being Taylor Swift, because Taylor does it in a really cool way where she rolls things out. I'm sure you guys have seen Tay Story. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I hijacked this live stream.
No,
just
it's
to talk
okay.
About
go for
Taylor
it.
Swift.
We were going to do a video on Tay Story, but I basically texted the wrong person. They never got back to me. And it was because
why didn't you text me, you asshole?
I didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know, Whitney. Why didn't you tell me you were a big
Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift. I didn't have
And I love Toy Story. I love cartoons and I love Taylor Swift. Yeah, how are you supposed to know that? We're friends, Ryan. That's how.
You never talk to me about Taylor Swift, though. We talk about this shit. Anyways. I'm turning off your mic.
She creates hype by seeding tiny little details years and years apart. Even though they are years and years apart, fans can still actually connect them back to things because they do eventually actually happen. Mm-hmm. And she makes sure that all of her things do pay off. And she also does the thing where she doesn't start leaving Easter eggs for something until a project is actually confirmed. She started seeding Toy Story Easter eggs back in like November with her outfits. It's crazy. Mm. That woman's the Zodiac killer. So I think Marvel needs to do that.
Michael Rondini gave us $10 on a super chat and has a thought that echoes what Alex and you guys are saying here. Not really using the multiverse until Fantastic Four. Scrapping Kang, using Doom too late, no Avengers films, and abandoning Shang-Chi. That movie was so much fun and the setting felt fresh. So yeah.
They mean by having a film actually take place in a different universe.
Yeah. By like, and I think we did a video when Spider-Noir came out, I made the same point. Like, why didn't we just get this? Why couldn't we have had like something in a Western or whatever?
Didn't you kind of want, was it She-Hulk to or was that a theory going on? People wanted She-Hulk to be revealed that it was taking place in a different universe, or like come the end of
it would make sense. I mean, that would not break, that would make her fourth wall breaks not break continuity. I keep pushing for Shang-Chi in the 1970s, like gritty 1970s Scorsese Shang-Chi movie shot on 35mm.
I mean, if you're gonna do a multiverse saga, like, I like No Way Home for what it is, I guess. I could bitch about it for hours, and I had fun with Deadpool and Wolverine, but you would think maybe if you want to do a multiverse saga, maybe you like tell Sony, hey, let's do a Spider-Man 4 with Toby, let's do another X-Men movie or something, if you really want to build up to these different universes, like all heading to this same like culmination point where they literally are going to collide. That would have been cool.
Well, here's mine, and mine's along these, my first one, along those same lines. Marvel officially bought Fox. Basically, Disney was buying Fox. It was started to, like, their bid got approved in 2017. It was finalized in 2018. And I remember people asking Kevin Feige, oh, when are you going to do the X-Men? He's like, well, we plan everything like 5-10 years in advance, so not for a while. So first of all, calling bullshit on the planning thing, because as we found out, and as we'll talk about in a second, they will absolutely shuffle something in if they think it's going to do well. Like Agatha All Along was not part of the overall plan, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think that it did well and they had a great concept and they listened to the creatives and they said, yeah, we'll do Agatha All Along. That sounds fantastic. I don't know why it'll be 10 years before we get the X-Men in the MCU. Yep.
I think that shuffle,
to me was ridiculous.
Shuffle's the wrong SH word. It's more like shoehorn. They'll shoehorn it in for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially, like I said, we'll get that in a second. But when you look at the X-Men, I'm like, okay, so I looked forward. The reason I didn't mind when Disney bought 20th Century Fox and culled this venerated studio is because I was like, oh, cool, the X-Men are going to be in the MCU. Because I wanted to see the X-Men introduced slowly and find ties to the existing universe. And, you know, we had all these different theory videos and stuff we did, like maybe Reed Richards worked for S.H.I.E.L.D., stuff like that. And I think it's really weird that instead they were like, oh, yeah, no, let's... You know those Fox X-Men movies that had run out of gas and nobody really likes anymore? Let's bring that team back and let's do the multiverse thing instead of just reintroducing them into this universe. I don't know. I feel like the sentimentality toward those old movies was a little misguided, and that we've had several movies saying goodbye to that franchise, the Fox X-Men, and they should have just introduced them in the MCU.
Well, and it was right there to have the Fantastic Four have been trapped in the negative zone, have it be the quantum realm, that, and they could have not aged and everything. Sorry, Alex, go ahead.
No. I was just going to throw out there that I feel like it points to this thing with the MCU sometimes where they both have too much time and then too little time to do everything, at least from my very outside perspective, looking at production and post-production, where they're like, we got to really sit on this X-Men idea for 10 years. But when it comes down to it, they'll be like, oh, we didn't have a script and we're on set. Yeah. Oh my God. Like it, the immediate thing that's been top of mind for me is that they're not shooting Secret Wars until August of this year, which granted it's over a year out until the movie comes out in theaters. Mm-hmm. So technically that should be at the time for any movie, but it's weird to me that they didn't film Doomsday and Secret Wars back to back, that they didn't really have, as far as we've heard, any sort of plan or script or real shooting order or anything like that on Doomsday. And I know that's been part and parcel with the MCU since the beginning, since they were improvising on Iron Man and everything. Mm-hmm. But that clearly is not working. Like, other ways of doing things are working. And whether it is subbing in the X-Men and figuring out a way, like, okay, we have this, how do we make it work? How do we actually not take our sweet time and plan it out, but figure out how to make this universe better, but push forward on those things in an appropriate amount of time. Give yourself an appropriate amount of time, plan out things. I know I'm kind of just blathering and monologuing, but there was this quote from Tom Holland the other day where he was talking about how he was on the Odyssey and saw Christopher Nolan making a movie and actually planning in advance. And he's like, have you guys ever thought we could maybe do this with a Spider-Man movie? Yes. We should try that.
That's what I was about to say as you were saying
have
that.
Have we tried being filmmakers in the MCU? Crazy. Have we tried working with film?
And he even called out in that interview that you're talking about how they'll plan like the whole action sequences and set pieces ahead of time and then do the story around it. And didn't he say like he pretty much told them, we're not doing that. Like,
yeah.
And who was the writer? I just read a report that they brought a writer in who like reworked the whole Brand New Day script before they started filming. Let me look. You guys talk amongst yourselves. But they brought in like a well-known writer from another show that kind of gave the script a pass before they started filming.
And it's interesting, though, because, you know, Alex, you mentioned that was kind of what they did with Iron Man, and especially Iron Man 2, where the creative committee were throwing their notes into it. One of the few exceptions were the Avengers movies and the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, where you had a director who was also a screenwriter, and all these other instances. And this is mostly taken from the Random Marvel Studios book. They started to have this pattern of getting their visual effects started. Like you said, Colton, they know the big action scenes, which, by the way, is not unusual. John Woo, George Miller, a lot of great action directors, Christopher McQuarrie on the Mission Impossible films. They start filming those Mission Impossible movies before they have a script because they do the stunts. So Hayley Atwell, when she meets Tom Cruise's character in that movie where she meets him, I think it's the first Reckoning one, she has no idea why they're running. No one does. They just know they have to run, you know?
Yeah.
And they would do the visual effects and build everything around that. And then, like you said, eventually you just run out of steam. Well, and I think that gets into my next one, which I'll talk about in a second.
But there's nothing wrong with that in itself. There's nothing wrong with saying we don't have the exact details of the script locked down, but these movies, and especially these set pieces, are a lot to get done in a short amount of time. So it's okay to start pre-planning. But so I'm not saying you have to have like a completely finalized every single detail script, but at least have an outline. It sounds like they start planning these sequences. Yeah, it sounds like they start with, oh, well, we're going to have a fight scene on a train. Why?
Oh, we are.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out or something.
And then
I don't
bring
know.
In
Why
your
you
indie
me?
Director, who you bring in an indie director who's good with actors, and they can do all those dialogue scenes in between. And they tell them, they literally told Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck, don't worry about the visual effects stuff. We got that.
And if you want to insert any like dialogue in the fight that would come later, you can just go in and insert that, you know, do tight shots of the actual like exchange.
But they do those shots later. I mean, that's the thing. Like they work on all these sequences, they get them mapped out. If they do the same thing on the Fast and Furious movies where they're usually not on location. It's very rare. Like Vin Diesel, yes, he was in Rome. He was in Cuba. But usually when they film those scenes, they're not on location. They're in the studio in front of a blue screen.
Vin Diesel
just goes those places because he wants to go, you know, like he was like, oh, Rome sounds great. Cuba, great.
Which explains why he's always hours late to set.
Yeah, 100% explains that.
The guy that wrote Challengers was brought on to do kind of a last minute.
Right? Explains it. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think there's going to be a scene with MJ and Peter and Ben?
Yeah.
And Peter's new and MJ's new guy. Yeah.
Yeah, the new boyfriend.
Yes, new boyfriend and Spider-Man, and they're gonna have to make out. Holy shit.
Ned's watching.
It's all happening.
Dream come true. Yeah. Ned's in the cuck chair, of course.
He's the guy in the cuck chair.
Yeah. Ned's in the cuck chair. You gotta have that one guy.
He's the guy in the chair.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Colton, I'm sorry I killed you.
It's hilarious. It's really Well, anyways, Philip Rumba from Down Under gave us $8 Australian and said the multiverse saga never had its Thanos without a clear overarching big bad. Everything felt disconnected and directionless. How's Doug doing? He's great. They did have a big bad. It was Kang. They were setting Kang up. He was there. He was in Loki. He was he appeared in, you know, they gave him his start in Quantumania. And then it turned out, oh, it's not Kang. It's the council. They tried to pull a bait and switch on us that just...
I mean, that points to, not to get too deep into it or anything, but like the trifecta of things that were working against Marvel during this time period. One is COVID. The second is the fire hose of content that Disney was telling them to produce, both for Disney Plus and for theaters, particularly when like they didn't know how to make TV and they still kind of don't know how to make TV. They're sort of retroactively being like, how do you make TV? We should look into that.
Pilots. Yeah, interesting.
I don't know. Showrunners? Yeah. What are we thinking?
Yeah.
And then the third thing is the situation with Jonathan Majors, which threw an enormous wrench into any plans that they had for Kang. And there were certainly ways around that other than coming up with Robert Downey Jr. as Dr. Doom. But that's what they went with. And there again, like, yeah,
yes.
What well, he had a,
can't recast had a somebody no, in the multiverse. That doesn't work.
But he had
that
a no recast. Work, yeah, he had a no recast thing, a clause in his contract. So
okay, he did.
Because he knew in the multiverse saga, he wanted to play variations of himself. He didn't want to be acting against somebody else playing Kang. Now that presumably would have included an indemnification clause, which would mean that, you know, had he done something like get convicted of a crime, then they could recast him.
But then
you're getting into a whole other thing where basically he was exonerated legally in that whole deal. And, you know, like you talk to attorneys, like Mike Mazzella came on and was like, actually, well, this is what happened. So it gets really sticky. Alex is right about that.
Okay, but you know what? I don't accept that excuse because, one, you're right. He violated the clause that was totally in there that, you know, if he did any brand hurting of their brand, they could totally recast him. And, like, and you know what? If he doesn't like it, if he thinks he has a case, then he can sue them. Have fun suing Disney. I can't believe I'm saying that about the giant corporation. But yeah, have your
blast
suing
you.
Disney. Yeah, they just pay him off and he'd be done. So I don't like that excuse. No, I think it was
Disney pays
pay me, pay me. Yeah. I think it was pathetic.
You're fired up, though.
I think it was pathetic they didn't recast Kang. I always thought that was so incredibly
stupid.
It's such a disrespect.
I'm with you. I think that it's ridiculous that, like, dude, if I one time, this is a true story, I got fired from a job because I was really, really hungry and it was a half day and we were getting out at 1 p.m. But at like 11:30, I was like, I'm so hungry. I got to go get a sandwich. And I came back and my boss was like, it's a half day. You couldn't have just waited till you clocked out. Why would you do this? And I was so hangry that I was like, leave me alone. I need to eat so bad. And I got fired from that job. And rightfully so, because I was being shitty. I should not have left in the middle of a workday to get a sandwich. I shouldn't have been cranky at my boss because I was hangry. That was on me.
I mean, what Majors did was a lot worse.
Exactly. If I can accept it,
I'm not even sure.
That's what I'm saying. I deserve to lose that job. He way deserved to lose that job. And his contract should be broken. My contract got broken. I didn't get paid anymore. They definitely recast my position of social media manager. And rightfully so. They should have. Why can't they recast Kang? He did something shitty at work, too.
I think it's super weird to fire somebody for getting a sandwich. That's just me, though.
Gary Ross gave us $5. It happened.
Jerry Roth gave us $5 and said, agreeing with what we said before, Marvel's biggest mistakes were introducing new characters, then doing nothing with them, like America Chavez and cliffhangers that never get resolved. Who's the new character they introduced? You guys are like, oh my God, how have they not done anything with this person since then?
Oh, Scar. Everybody loves Scar when he showed up in She-Hulk. Yeah. Where is he? Why don't we have our own Scar?
We all celebrated the appearance of Scar.
They need to give him time to grow out that awful ass haircut. That's where he is.
But he's such a great character in the comics. I don't want to go into the whole lore now, but he really is. I think that's a great one.
It's too much everything. It's too many movies. Yeah. It's too many shows. And it's way too many damn characters. There's something special about quality over quantity. When there's too many, like... I used to think I needed to buy every single Marvel and Star Wars action figure that came out. But eventually I just ended up with a collection of 75% of figures that I didn't care about or want. It's much more special when you just buy the ones you want. Plus you save some money. And before we get off of Kang, I just want to say in terms of mistakes, introducing not only the character and the entire concept of your movie franchise saga in a Disney Plus show, it might be the single biggest mistake they could have made. And I say that Loki is my favorite MCU show. I love Loki. But you do not introduce your Thanos and the entire concept of your film saga on a show.
The show should have always been regarded as if you did watch this, you get extra context, which I thought Brave New World, except for Isaiah Bradley, felt like that. It felt like a limited series that took place between the main series. Mike Ishku gave us $3 and said Taskmaster, Kang, and MODOK were mishandled. That's a pretty good one, too. MODOK, great character in the comics, great character, you know, great show with Patton Oswalt. It makes sense that Aaron Cross returned, but... Man,
when you said MODOK, I don't even register him as MODOK. Like, I was like, MODOK, when did they do? Oh, they did do MODOK, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. And Quantumania did get a little bit too Rick and Morty, the Jeff Loveness of it all, like the broccoli-headed guy, stuff like that. Like, it veered too far toward that. H. Portillo gave us $2 and said, biggest mistake was no Avengers movie before Doomsday. So this gets into what I was going to say. I've said this 100 times, that you can introduce all these characters and you can do this, right? But not having an Avengers movie, I think, is what made people leave, because you stopped feeling like, you know, there's, look, not that you have to watch art to feel like a completionist, but when there are so many things to watch and then real life and things to go out and do and grass to touch and waterfalls to bask in, and you're asking people to watch 6 episodes of Moon Knight and 10 episodes or 9 episodes of She-Hulk, it's a lot to ask of people. And we want an Avengers movie. We want to know what it's building toward. But the simple fact is, the reason they didn't have Avengers movies is because it's impossible when you scaled up production that much. When you involve that many characters and that many showrunners and that many people, which was a dictate from Disney trying to like make up for the pandemic and the losses they were suffering by building up Disney Plus. When you have that happen, it just becomes logistically impossible. And one thing that we've heard is that out from Alex Perez is that next phase Avengers movies won't just be giant team ups. They will be, hey, here's a team of Avengers. They're going to fight Baron Zemo or whoever.
And Doomsday and Secret Wars and like this saga, thematically, this capper, the way that they are actually going to make it feel bigger than Infinity War and Endgame is, not only are we like having a culmination event of that saga, it's a culmination event of not only this saga, but the Infinity Saga, the Fox X-Men that came to, it's this nostalgia thing of all of it coming together. Imagine had they actually taken the time to establish and do an Avengers movie with these new Avengers and these new characters. And that would be yet another piece of this culmination event. We've got the new Avengers from the current thing coming in. We've got, the Avengers that we love from the Infinity Saga. The Avengers from the Infinity Saga would feel just as like, as much as like a piece of nostalgia as the X-Men are, and as Tobey and Andrew's Spider-Man are. Like, they're coming back. It doesn't really feel like, they're coming back. It really just feels like they never left. So,
I think this is a great point, because you also need those tent poles. You need those marking points at the end of phases that we got leading through the Infinity Saga, because you knew, like, I mean, I'd be hard pressed to tell you what the story of phase 1 or phase 2 or phase 3 was, but I can tell you offhand, like, okay, here's the movie's phase 1 leading up to Avengers. Here's phase 2 leading up to Avengers Age of Ultron. Here's phase 3 leading up to Infinity War and then Endgame. And I think there was, beyond what you're saying, Ryan, probably also this feeling of Endgame is the biggest movie of all time. How do we top that? We can't top that by going back to Avengers or Age of Ultron. Yeah. We need to do Endgame times 2, which is certainly what they hope Doomsday is. And I think that's wrong, because like Colton's saying, if instead at the end of phase 4 we had gotten Thunderbolts, the new Avengers, then you'd been like, oh, cool. Oh, this is a fun new team. Let's follow them. And then exactly like you're saying, at the end of phase 5, you get Sam's team or whatever. And then we get that big in game times 2 that Doomsday is. It feels more earned at that point.
Earned, exactly.
I was so jazzed to see the Guardians meet the Avengers. Like, that was something I looked forward to so much, and it didn't disappoint when it finally happened. All right, next. Sorry, we got MKNM6818 said, such a pleasure seeing you all. Colton, I love you. Alex, such a legend. Whitney, never enough of you. Ryan, you demand. Thank you so much. And we really appreciate that.
You demand what?
I demand sandwiches.
At
11:30, He-Man. Rick Taylor, and I love this one. This is from what we were talking about yesterday with Ryan on this Captain America versus Nazis. It really bothers me that Captain America went through World War II and we never saw him shoot, kill, or maim a single Nazi.
Well,
yeah,
Hydra,
that's kind of insane.
Hydra is worse than Nazis. I don't know if you're aware.
Are they? Yeah.
There's a terrible line from Avengers. Or I hate it when he's talking to Loki and he goes, you know, the last time there was a man standing above everyone else,
in
we
Germany.
Ended up disagreeing.
Yeah.
So there's a really sweet
video. I'm sorry,
video.
You disagreed with Hitler, I guess? Like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Agree to disagree, man.
With Hitler, I guess. Jesus.
There's an adorable video. I wish I remember the creator who made it, who filmed his grandmother watching the Marvel movies. You know, slowly, because she wasn't going to marathon them. And when they were watching the Avengers, he said, "Grandma, you know who he's talking about?" And she turned and went, "Hitler." It was adorable. She like knew the answer. She was so proud of it. She worked it out on her own. Oh, sorry. I just want to get through a couple more super chats here because they keep going on. Brian Brick gave us $10 and said using DNA mutation as a result of being snapped back would have worked great for introducing mutants. I agree. So after the blip, like maybe Thanos snapping everybody away triggers the mutant gene. Also, they are already dealing with marginalization due to their 5-year displacement. So yeah, maybe when we come back in Endgame, mutants have been popping up and they're already like, oh, this weird thing's happening. It's something we missed. And then we could have, and this is, should be a mistake I think we could list. We should have seen more stuff during the blip. That is a really interesting story opportunity.
It is.
Yeah, that and the, I mean, I know everybody's talked about this a million times, but the whole Captain America bringing back the Infinity Stones thing, that would have been great to see as well.
Yeah.
Like have that as a Disney
Plus series.
We might still.
Yeah.
It's almost
but
like
that is the kind of thing that belongs as a Disney Plus series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's almost like they could have done a 6-part series where he returns each stone. It's like it was just perfectly set up for them right there.
The Soul Stone would make a great final one because he would finally, I don't know what the character growth would be in that. I guess it would be him like figuring out he wants to be with Peggy, even though he worked that out before because he told Bucky he was going to do it and stuff. But maybe him grappling with that decision. Like he's decided he's going to end this talking to Peggy, but as he returns each stone, he sees all these problems and he has to finally phase by phase realize, okay, I can't solve this. Like I have to actually be okay with Bucky being mind tortured for decades.
I love all those memes where it's a picture of Haley Atwell and it says, yeah, I would have broke the timeline for her too.
So I would have broke the multiverse for her too. I think that but they should do it. They should do it like the Pit. They should make each Infinity Stone 1 hour of the day of Steve Rogers' day. And it's about how in one day he has to return all 6 Infinity Stones. I'd watch the shit out of that.
But just think, too, when he's going to be reading, he's reading the morning paper and he's like drinking his coffee and he's thinking, I mean, Peggy works for the, should I tell her about 9/11? Should I, you know, like all these things he could help and prevent over the decades, like all the people he could help and save.
I want to see him pull a Brian from Family Guy and like he gets in an argument with someone and the guy's like challenges him to a fight anytime, anywhere. And Steve's like, all right, top of the World Trade Center.
Phil Arumba from Down Under gave us another $8 Australian and said they put out too much content and now it means nothing. Endgame to Doomsday means that too much content. Now means nothing. What a waste of time. And I think it goes back to what we were saying a second ago. It does start to kind of numb you when you feel like things don't necessarily lead to other stuff. And again, I don't know. I don't want to repeat myself, but I really feel like the lack of Avengers movies at the end of every phase killed the multiverse saga more than anything else. But that's a more systemic problem that comes from Disney corporate relying on their cash cow too much because, I don't know, their live action remakes didn't make as much money as they thought.
I'm fine with them not necessarily having to lead to other stuff even, but quit pretending like it is.
Yeah.
Like the point Alex was making earlier with the post-credit scenes, they pretend like it's leading to something, but it doesn't. If you want to just do like some solo movies that aren't necessarily, you know, building to quote Skeletor, the crescendo, you can just do the movie. Don't pretend like it's going somewhere if it's not.
Yeah. I got a good one before I get back to the super chats. I think Eternal should have been a TV series.
Mm-hmm. That'd be an expensive ass TV series.
It really would. But at that point, at that point, you're talking about dumping like $500 million on a season of Andor. Like Disney was investing in it like it was a tech startup. That would have been the time to do it.
I mean,
I would have been glued to the TV every night for 10 weeks watching Kingo and his beautifully sculpted arms and abs. Justice for Kumail's abs, as I always say.
That's the biggest blunder.
I know, and it sucks.
I hated killing Gilgamesh. I thought he was great. That was one character I was like, oh, it hurts. And I know he's a robot, so he can come back, but he was my favorite Eternal. I really hated to see him go.
That's a really good idea, Ryan, because it is episodic, that movie, like, which doesn't necessarily work for a movie, but you're jumping through different timelines. So even if you do the dual timeline thing that every prestige show does, that would work really well. Have the Eternals of the present follow Kit Harington and his adventures and then flash back every episode to show us a different point in the Eternals' history.
Well, yeah. And not to mention that the best Eternals comic book is the Neil Gaiman one, where that's the structure. They have all forgotten being Eternals, and Icarus goes around, reminds them of who they were, so we discover along with them who they were.
And sorry, it's also... Back. Oh, sorry. Was Whitney saying something? Or...
Maybe not. Go ahead, Colton. Sorry, I thought you were waiting.
Thank you. It's also not insulting to make Eternals a show. I know bitch about this all the time, but there are certain things I just don't think you downgrade to a TV show. It belongs on a big screen. Eternals, that's perfect for a TV show because it's like a thing that really a casual fan hasn't heard of. That I think a TV, I think Disney Plus Marvel shows is a great place to introduce lower level things, like more obscure things. So yeah, I agree. That would have been, maybe you can't have Angelina Jolie in it. But
why not? George Clooney was on TV. He was in ER. You can put Angelina on TV. Give it to me, baby.
Give an actor enough money, they'll do either.
They could have got John Voight to do it.
John Voight was on TV. He was on Ray, whatever that show was called. Cody Hall gave us $5 and said, which villain would we like to see in the first MCU X-Men outing? I love this question. Feel free to save your answer for a more dedicated stream. No, because I think it goes back to what I was saying about the X-Men should have already been introduced into the MCU.
And I'm going to go Magneto.
Magneto's never been in an X-Men movie. Have we never seen that before?
It's crazy. He's a good character. Yeah. Do you guys know about Magneto? Have you heard about him?
No. Eric Magneto? Does he, have any kind of... My close personal friend, Eric Magneto.
I love Eric Magneto.
Eric Magneto. That's what I call him in my personal life.
And his arch nemesis, X-Man. I love X-Man.
Yeah.
I know the comic nerd in me, though, is like, oh, X-Man, young Nathan from the alternate future age of Apocalypse.
That's what I'm talking about. What did you think I meant?
I mean, low-hanging fruits, Mr. Sinister. I've said Mojo would be really fun. In one of these movies, I think we actually did a whole talk back on this one. Arcade would be terrible. Please don't do Arcade. I can't imagine that working. I know, but...
depending on what they do with Spider-Man Brand New Day, I almost feel like they'll probably go the damage control route, where it's not necessarily an Apocalypse-level villain or even a Magneto-level villain so much as the government chasing after this young team. That's what I see happening.
What do you guys think about the possibility of Mr. Charles being William Stryker?
Or Henry Peter Guyrick?
I like the idea of the X-Men versus the government. I think that is the most interesting
story. I like him better as Guyrick, because Guyrick has a little bit more reach in the comics. Stryker was in the comics was a preacher who they turned into, and I kind of like Stryker as the government opponent, being from the X-Men universe and being Brian Cox. I like that, being siloed there.
What if Severance Guy is not playing Metzger and is playing Stryker instead? Sorry, I'm just theorizing now, but that'd be cool. He'd be a cool... Yeah, sorry. He'd be every time I either call him Severance Guy or Devour Fetchulence Guy.
I mean, talking about villains that we've kind of seen a bunch already in X-Men movies, it would be kind of neat if it's Stryker and there is a Weapon X program in the movie. You don't see Wolverine, but that is your setup for Wolverine somewhere down the road. Perhaps there's a record that they see somewhere in the offices or something like that. I don't know.
And there have been so many other Weapons X, too. Like, there's a lot of them over the years. Sorry, Colton, I stepped on you.
Oh, and Bullseye is on the team. I think Bullseye has to be on Team X or whatever it's called. Yeah.
I think he's a mutant, too. Like, I think they're going to retroactively 100%. Go back and say, he's a mutant, Wonder Man's a mutant, and that's a lot of
I think they're going to make a lot of people mutants, and I think it's not even going to necessarily be because the universe reset, because we're already seeing in 616, like, Miss Marvel's a mutant. I think Bullseye's a mutant. I think that there are mutants, and as, was it Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that showed us that there's a lot of just like random super people, right? I've only seen like season one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but didn't they like run into just like kind of random enhanced
they get powers.
People?
Yeah, that's the interesting mutants and enhanced. Enhancers like an outside event that causes the powers to happen.
Right. I think that we could learn that mutation maybe is getting more and more rampant and like more are being born and stuff, but that it's always been a thing. They just haven't discovered the gene until the gene, not the Jean Grey.
But that's kind of disappointing too, that the Eternals is based on this comic storyline called Earth X. It's alternate universe stuff, but basically the point of it is that the reason the Celestials gave everybody the Celestial gene, which allows them to get superpowers, was so they could act as antibodies to protect the baby and the Earth. And I always thought that made a lot more sense than, oh yeah, we just need enough people to get smart. And then when there's enough people, the brain waves feed. I always thought that was just too complicated. Like I would have kept it that, and that it also would explain more mutants because the baby's about to hatch and there's more threats from aliens. So the natural antibodies of the planet are producing more powered people as like Thanos invades, et cetera, et cetera.
Nerd.
The Stars 2049 gave us a couple super chats. Says killing Wenwu and Shang-Chi was a huge mistake. Tony Leung's his favorite actor. Getting him in a Marvel movie was like getting it's like if Tom Hanks was Reed Richards. I agree it was a big mistake. And I also think having a giant dragon at the end of Shang-Chi was stupid. I wish it had just been fighting him and his dad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other characters you guys are like, really should not have killed that one? There was more for that character to do.
I'm kind of that way about almost any character, because once you kill the character, you've cut off the storyline. I mean, like we were talking about earlier, you can bring back anybody in the Marvel universe, but it's a bummer. You know, somebody, I mean, I think about things like Mickey Rourke in Iron Man 2 being so weird with his bird. Maybe that movie wasn't great across the board, but it would have been fun and weird to see him show up. I'm still bummed that we've never gotten like a really good villain team at any point in the MCU. And, you know, we had the Black Order. I don't think they necessarily count, but like, I would have loved to see them leave everybody alive, put everybody in prison, have them all break out together and come back and attack the Avengers. That's a classic comic book trope, but it works for a reason because it's fun. You're like, oh man, that guy's with that guy. That's so cool. And we've never
and you get
got
to see
that.
Them play off each other. Exactly. I thought Infinity War would be Thanos doing that. I thought, you know, because in the comics, Thanos has like all this power because he gets the gems early. And I thought, yeah, man, I want to see like Ironmonger come back and team up with all these other villains and different Red Skull.
Wasn't that kind of the plan a little bit? Wasn't there a little bit of an initial idea of like Red Skull was going to like be the villain of Avengers, and like some other villains from Phase One were going to be brought in?
Yeah, they were going to do Red Skull before. I think when Whedon came on, I think Zach Penn's script also had Loki, but then they pivoted to Loki pretty quick though. But they were talking about having it be the Red Skull.
I don't know
if he was going to pull other villains in.
I wasn't big on killing Natasha. I mean, she's like my favorite.
Oh, huge character. Mistake.
Yeah.
That, and just the way that they did the Black Widow movie after was just such a fuck up on Marvel's part. They rolled that out so poorly. I am totally Team ScarJo, even though she's like the richest, highest paid actor in the world or whatever. I'm still on her team because I think that the way that they rolled out that movie fucking sucked. It was shitty to do to her. It was shitty to do to all of us fans.
Well, that was the first one she was a producer on. So she was actually going to make real money on it.
Yeah.
Like, she was going to make fuck you money.
Like Colin Jost could quit SNL kind of money, you know, be a house husband if he
pretty
wanted.
Pretty sure.
Well, that would have been two wins.
Oh, I like Colin Jost.
I do too. I call him Colin Jokes. As you can see, I just change everyone's name.
I love when they have to read the jokes that they write for each other.
Me too. That's always the best.
This last one, I thought, I don't know. I wasn't as into the last joke swap they did. I don't know. I think that it's kind of wearing off. But
here's a mistake. When did Black Widow come out? I know it got screwed over with COVID.
2021.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe this wouldn't have worked, but that Black Widow movie, the exact same way you made it, I think would have been a million times better and would have performed a million times better, not even just because of the day and date release and COVID and all that. Take that out of it. If you had released it in between Infinity War and Endgame.
Oh,
yes, 100%. Exactly. Yeah. No,
between Civil War and Infinity War.
Well, yeah. If you want to go that far back, but even between, I think, Infinity War and Endgame, it would have worked.
Because
they kind of did prequels with Captain Marvel. I almost wonder if maybe the Black Widow movie would have been better to slot in there than Captain Marvel. I don't know. And I really like Captain Marvel, but
yeah.
I think
as far as that goes, we did a video on this. I just look at Natasha and I go, I think having that character in the Multiverse Saga as the lone Avenger standing would have made a lot of sense. I think she would have been the one to get the team together, and you know, they were leaning toward that way, and we never got to see her in that role. And it's funny, the Black Widow has never been in the comics like somebody I would call a marquee Marvel hero, but then
Scarlett Johansson made her into that.
Yes, I would have liked to have seen that continue.
Dude, and the thing that sucks the most is that the Jeremy Renner app is gone now, so Hawkeye has nowhere to talk about how sad it is that he lost Natasha.
I know.
I think about that every day. So RIP Ryan Jeremy Brain. Renner app.
I still have my notifications on for it. I couldn't bring myself to delete it from my phone. Armand said, I don't think we as a society are ready for doomsday for £2. Thank you. Brian Brink gave us $5 and said the series name for bringing back the stones, Avengers, post-game. Well done. Senpai AF gave us $5 and said, would you like it or hate it if they said a lot of the past heroes were mutants, or if society generalized all heroes as mutants to segregate them? I would hate that. I would love it. I don't think it's just because, you know, it's two different things. Mutants in the comics, it's also a thing like, well, why do people think Spider-Man's not a mutant and everybody else is? Well, because he's not. I don't know. Like, it's just kind of like there's the X-Men and those characters, and then there's the other people. And what makes the X-Men is that they are not regarded as heroes like the other people. They are different. They are weird. They're freaks. They have strange powers and they're hairy and there's stuff coming out of their heads and you can't trust them. Whereas you can trust Captain America. So no, I wouldn't like that one bit.
I think a lot of them are going to get called mutants. I think the word mutant is going to be a word that like the DODC and all of the anti superpower people are going to use. Like, I think that's going to be a word we hear J. Jonah Jameson spewing on live TV. Like, these damn...
Bro, we're about to hear the real government calling all of us mutants pretty soon. Like, come on.
Yeah. Right. I just don't want that to be the actual definition of it. Like, I think mutants are a very specific thing where you're born with this X gene and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If they want to use it as like a scare tactic for the public, collaborators, we have to arrest them all or whatever they're going
to
say.
Well, not that to get too in the weeds, but I really like the idea of if Spider-Man didn't have a dormant mutant, because, okay, with Kamala Khan, what happened was she had the mutant X gene in the MCU, and the Bengals have activated it.
Yes.
Wade Wilson had the mutant X gene. It was activated through severe trauma. I think Bullseye went through severe trauma. He could have it. I could think an individual who got bit by a radioactive spider and didn't have a mutant X gene would just die.
I can't even begin to tell you the level of fuck no that I associate with that. You've brought that take up to me before. No, Spider-Man's not a mutant. It's fundamentally two completely different things. It just is.
You don't think they're going
to
have some sort of
disagree.
You don't think they're going to have some sort of...
They might. And if they do that in the movie, Colton, I'll hate the movie. I just think it's a terrible, terrible, terrible idea. I think it's just... Spider-Man's not a mutant. I don't know. It's weird, the things that I'll put my foot down on. Like, I'll watch all the injustice happen in the world and be like, that seems unfortunate. But somebody brings up the idea of Grey Jedi or Peter Parker being a mutant, and I'm like, I will fight you for this. I'm gonna die on this hill.
Go ahead, Alex.
No, I hope not.
No. I was just going to say, I feel like they're going to have a clean break, right? Like, after Secret Wars, they're going to have some sort of thing like, oh, this universe is irradiated differently, so now the X gene exists. And then we have mutants going forward. Maybe they'll retroactively turn some folks, but I think mostly, like, they've been pretty clear, X-Men happens after Secret Wars. That's when the mutant saga starts. So that's when I think we're going to get, like, our inciting incident for whatever that status quo is.
I don't know, man. I agree with Colton, though. I think the mutant saga is going to start this July in Brand New Day. I think that they're going to start seeding all this stuff then. I just don't know why. I don't see how they can do that and also introduce, like, oh, you know, you're Professor Xavier. I met a Professor Xavier once in the multiverse. That's interesting. Yeah. I don't know. They got to wipe everybody's minds. Self-Presence gave us $5 and said they could have enemies on multiple fronts, the MLF, the government X Factor, or Freedom Force. And then the people led by Stryker / Creed, Frenzy. Yeah, I love that. Like, for the X-Men villains.
I also think that in the Avengers movies, the villains have to be mutants. I think for the mutant saga, you have to have the Avengers going up against villainous mutants. Like,
that's a great idea. That's a good one.
I like that a lot.
That feeds into this anti-mutant hysteria thing you're talking about, where the government and everybody else are saying, look, these dangerous mutants. And it also builds up toward eventually Avengers versus X-Men. Oh, that's hot. That's good. And finally, last super chat. You're welcome. See, we're friends. We can disagree. We've disagreed.
See, we're friends.
Alexander Wilson gave us five. Did I come off really strong there? Sorry, Colton, if I was too argumentative. I really didn't like it.
You're fine. There's a weird energy in the podcast now. No, not at all.
I found it to be too much, but
yeah. Ryan, I was a bit much. But you're always home. You're not even out in the universe at all. Like, interact with you.
I don't know.
Alexander Wilson gave us $5 and said, Love and Thunder was the worst MCU movie and is unwatchable to me. That movie was truly awful. Hemsworth even talked bad about it.
Yeah.
It's on my list.
I don't like it, but I don't know if it's the worst.
I don't know, man. Watch the GOAT compilation sometime on YouTube and try not to laugh. That is the funniest, stupidest joke. Those goats screaming constantly made me laugh every time. But
I just think it's a waste of Gore the God Butcher.
Sure.
Yeah, I think it was a huge waste of Gore the God Butcher for sure.
What did you like about Love and Thunder, Whitney?
Nothing. I didn't like that movie very much. I liked so the scene where Thor and the Guardians were fighting Fraggle Rock. That was it. I was like, I love Fraggle Rock. This is nice. What a nice cameo. And then that was my favorite part.
My favorite part is when Thor is in the very obvious CG helmet and he goes, Jane? Or the floating head of the kid.
The floating head of the child. The most disturbing and unsettling use of CGI in a while that I've seen.
What about when he fed his hammer a beer? And you had Christian Bale as Gore the God Butcher too. And it was all these great storylines, Jane Foster, Thor, and it's just, I don't know, in terms of like disappointment, that is probably my biggest disappointment.
As Gore the God, but he did like an actual great job. And like the opening scene, like where he's begging that God to help him and all that, you know, he could have been the next like Loki, like what Loki was for phase one. Like he's in a Thor movie and then he's in the Avengers movie. You could have totally had Gore the God Butcher been the villain of whatever that next Avengers movie would have been. And you have Christian Bale. Why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah, dude, you have Christian Bale.
I would just recommend to anybody listening or watching, if you haven't read the Jason Aaron run on Thor, it's about 100 issues. It's just incredible. And if you read that, then you'll dislike Love and Thunder even more. I feel like Taika Waititi just got put too much of himself in it. There's too much Korg. Korg is great in Ragnarok, and he just overwhelms the movie by joking about everything. Everything's a joke. There's no stakes. And there are real stakes in that movie. They're going to kill all the gods. Jane has cancer. It's some real stuff that could have been more heady to balance off that humor.
I am struggling to think of a worse one. You know, I said, I don't know if it's the worst one. I'm struggling to think of it.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's pretty bad.
I really don't like it. There's a lot of MCU movies that other people like, and I don't like Captain Marvel very much. I don't like Deadpool and Wolverine, but I'd rather watch Deadpool and Wolverine than Love and Thunder.
I would watch Deadpool and Wolverine over Love and Thunder any day of the week, and I was not a big Deadpool and Wolverine fan. Because that's the other thing that I didn't like that I wish they didn't do is that I hate it so much when they come back in like a sequel of any kind, even if it's like the third one or whatever, and all of the resolution from the previous movie has just been erased off screen. I hate that more than anything. So the fact that like he and Vanessa were broken up after he went through all that, after all that they've been through, after he brought her back to life and they were planning on having a baby together, they just break up off screen. I fucking hate that so much. That's like my biggest pet peeve when movies do that. You want to know the most egregious version of that? Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 undoes all of the learning and the growth that Paul Blart experienced in Paul Blart Mall Cop 1. And like, I fucking hate it. So in my opinion, Deadpool Wolverine and Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 are on the same level of movie for me.
I thought you were going to say Alien 3, but that's just me. Like when they kill her at the beginning.
They took, who played the, it wasn't Anna Faris, was it? For some reason, I thought it was. Who was
thinking of Observe and Report, which is a similar movie.
Right. Yeah. No, but but I do know
it's all part of the same universe.
It's with Kevin
James. All part of the shared Mall Cop universe. Absolutely.
Who is the actress that plays his love interest?
Because they,
I forget.
They take her from being this really awesome, sweet person, and they just like completely turn her into this horrible character in the second one. The first Mall Cop is so good. That second one is awful and just spits in the face of that first movie.
It did they kill in the her? Face of Paul Blart.
Yeah. They didn't kill her off. They had her divorce him. Like she leaves him for someone.
Yes. Yeah. She leaves him at the beginning of two and she fucking divorces him. And I'm like, that undoes all of the progress of Paul Blart Mall Cop 1. This is fucked up. This is fucked up. Why did he defend the Rainforest Cafe if it was just going to end up like this? I hate
not
it.
Mine.
Hate
and it. Do not get me started on Land Before Time 4 Journey Through the Mist. That movie in particular undid so much progress that was earned through LOT 1 through 3. Am I right, guys?
You we are gotta end right, it there. Ryan.
I have to go see Disclosure Day. I didn't realize what time it was.
We should have 3 o'clock culture. You got to go. You literally have to go. We just have a couple more super chats we'll get to. I guess I should take Colton off of here.
Yeah,
a couple more super chats. Road Running gave us $2 and said, what makes CGI so expensive? Always been curious. It's actually designed, it's bringing all the monsters and dragons and things in from other universes and putting them up and filming them. And it's the magic that's involved, like the spirit.
Yeah, dude, it's really the airfare for dragons is like so expensive these days. It's like,
I didn't even know
that.
Yeah, you gotta get the large planes, the larger planes, too.
Yeah, no, you have to get like a much larger plane because you'd think that they would just fly themselves, but no, they all want PJs. Disgusting.
And also, we should mention this. Star, a lot of fairy dust was shipped through the Strait of Hormuz, so because of that, the price is like astronomical right now, right? Mm-hmm. And Darian Thompson, friend of the channel, gave us $5 and says Spider-Man doesn't need cameos. This is a great take. Captain America should have had at least Captain America should have had at least called Ant-Man. I don't know what that means. Give him someone to lead. Oh, Captain America movie should have had Ant-Man in the film. Also, I need more content for Whitney. I agree. So I think what the point there is that Spider-Man's in the MCU and Sony wants to take advantage of that by putting Doctor Strange or all these Nick Fury and all these other MCU characters in the film. I think as long as the rights are owned by Sony, that's never going to change. I think he'll always have an MCU character appearing in his films.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the problem that people point out is it constantly being a mentor for him, which I don't know if that's going to change this movie. It seems like maybe not with Bruce Banner necessarily, but you know, I like having Spider-Man in a shared world. That was the giddy joy of having him join the MCU. So having him literally and figuratively swing around and see all these other characters is great. But the issue is making them be like these bearded guys who need to teach Peter Parker lessons versus him having his own story.
And hopefully Brand New Day doesn't do that. And we got to call it there. Whitney, you can find Whitney on the channel Whitney Vision covering Rick and Morty right now. Tons of animation. Thanks, Whitney. It's always great having you on.
Thank you. See you guys later. Bye.
See you later. Bye. And Alex Albin, you can find him on the Comic Book Club podcast, which is linked down below. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
And we want to hear from you guys. Let us know down in the comments below or on our free-to-join Discord server or on Substack, where you can find me, what you think the MCU's biggest mistake was. Also, if you have any ideas for other kinds of live streams like this, we don't always have to talk about biggest mistakes, biggest successes, just anything you'd like to see us talk about, let us know in the comments. And if it's your first time here, please subscribe, smash that bell for alerts.